Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris, and today, with a croaky old voice once again, I'd like to talk to you about a podcast that I just wrote. And the podcast is The Elements of Style, Efficiency and Awareness, Some Life Tips. So I think style is a really important word. Each of us has our own style, and those people we admire in the world have a certain style about them. We all have a unique style, but foundational to style, having a unique style, is having a smooth style. In other words, knowing how to behave every single day in a way that's our classy style, our way of doing things. So we have to learn this style. It's not just automatic. If we gravitate to our auto style, it would be the equivalent to putting the car in neutral, taking the foot off the accelerator, letting it roll down the hill without a steering wheel. Our style would just go to the friends or the environment that we allow it to gravitate to. So creating a style, it's more than brand. So I just want to say a few things about this, and then we're going to go through quite a lengthy process of a checklist. And I think it's fantastic to have a work-based style checklist. And this work-based style checklist helps you develop the skills and the habit that give you efficiency and awareness at work. And I think those two words, efficiency and awareness, produce results with style. And having a style and then letting it evolve into your particular style is a pretty cool thing to do in life, and especially at work, because it leads to promotion and success. So being the best you can be is not just about suffering. And I think I'd like to give you this piece of advice, and that is that hard work is bad management. I know we have to put in the hours. I know sometimes we have to put the foot to the floorboards and go the extra yard with our work and forfeit a little bit of luxury. But that's very bad form. Style is about being able to deliver things, but be cool, be calm. I think the one word that I would use when I'm talking to people about style and holding a style is the ability to see beauty in something. There are people who were renowned for style. Bill Clinton was one of them. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the actor and now politician, has incredible power. Princess Diana, she had real style. The amazing energy of Pink, or Serena Williams, or you just go and look around the world and you see people with real class and real style. There are successful people without it. Unfortunately for them, they become a little bit addicted to substances to keep them there. So my suggestion to you is to recognize and emulate the styles of the winners. And they all have the same smooth style underneath their individuality. So what is it that makes two people of similar talent very different? Is it the self-belief that they have, which is what a sports coach might say? Is it the love for their work, as a guru, especially a New Age guru, might suggest? Is it a God-sent vision, you know, like all the spiritual teachers would have us believe that we're on purpose and therefore we will outgrow somebody else? Or if we listen to the Buddhist, it was predestined, and that person who, with equal talent, one got to the top and the other didn't, it's more about that their karma. I don't think any of these are right. I think style is something we have to work on, we have to choose, and we have to practice and practice until we're good at it. A smooth style is the best style. And there are those who make in the world the way in the world with, you know, a wild and rough style, but I don't think they're successful and sustain success and have happiness and balance and life that's really worth living without a smooth style. So I think the most important thing is we can be far better than we ever imagined we could be if we address the things that will cause us to be better than we thought. So for most of us, we're going around in circles thinking, I know what it will take to make me the best. But that's like inventing something and then someone saying, how can you make it better? You go, well, I invented it and I really am at the peak of my creative skills, just actually creating this thing. Can you give me some suggestions for it? So I think by working on your style, you're inviting tests, you're inviting improvement, which is my favorite word this month. And by doing that, you're drilling into and becoming more powerful, and your performances will out exceed what you ever dreamed in the past. So these steps have two important influences. Firstly, style will develop efficiency. Now, efficiency means you get more done in less time, but what it means is that you can be more classy, more efficient means you get things done with less fuss. And so there's less rhetoric and less waste. And I think efficiency is such a beautiful word in the world that if we could wake up in the morning and go to bed at night and have that whole day be efficient, we would feel really good about ourselves because we'd be working on high priorities. And a person who works on high priorities working on their self-worth. Awareness, on the other hand, is about how smooth we can be, how unflappable, the ability to know yourself and know your inspirations, the inner voice, and not necessarily get caught up with other people's outer voices. This is the awareness. And I'd like to go through the seven steps, and then I'll go through them in detail. So let's do a drill. Let's do a, today, let's do a drill as how you might have a checklist for your day at work. And there is a blog at Chris Walker Online, and you'll see this article where this is all written for you, so you don't have to write it down now if you don't want to, chriswalkeronline.com. So there are seven steps to refining your style at work. Let's go through them. Step one, make sure before you start work, there's a pre-takeoff systems check. And I'm going to go through that with you in a minute. That means you're in the right, you turn up and you're not being motivated by something that's happened outside of work. So it's really important to do a pre-takeoff systems check. Second one is be in the right mind space. Do the drills that will enable you to come to a healthy mind space and produce what is genius or what is creative or what is exactly what you need to produce without wasting energy. The third step is to know how to put the pedal to the metal. In other words, when is it time to really throw care to the wind and boots and all jump in and do something 110%? Step four is about success and benchmarking and self-rewarding yourself, a really critical skill, something a lot of people who are not successful or want to be successful don't realize is that successful people benchmark and self-reward. I'll go through that in a minute. Step five is refueling your powers, faculties, and capacities. Now, refueling is a really important word because as the day goes and we're spending time at work, we're emptying our tank and we're spending the energy. And very few people talk about refueling. Now, refueling can be, in a business sense, constituted or construed as being coffee or food or sugar or talking or gossip or whatever or laughter. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about core energy. I'm talking about the stuff that will produce results and the stuff that keeps your style smooth. But I'll talk about that soon. Step six is at the end of the day to know how to create the process of closure. So my recommendation to you, if you don't know how to close the day, there's no way your relationship's going to last. It's not way, because you're going to walk through the house with muddy boots on and your partner's going to compromise and you're going to compromise. And next thing you know, you're going, what in the hell have I been doing here? I'm all compromised out. And we adapt very quickly. And so over a relatively short period of time, you can find yourself in a very compromised situation if you don't know how to do closure for the day. And I'll go through that soon. Step seven is before sleep. How to return to a state of humility so that your sleep is deep and recuperative. So I'm going to go through these now, but the first one, and most important, I think, is a pre-takeoff systems check. Priming, it's been covered in another podcast. Exercise before work is crucial. Eating protein in the morning is absolute paramount for a good day's work. At least 30 grams of protein in your breakfast, maybe two breakfasts with two lots of 30 grams. The willingness to call the angels, in other words, to step out for a minute and say, it's like bringing in the energy of the universe to you and saying, I'm ready to start working with you today. And that's called walker chi. Posture. Is your posture straight? Is your back straight? Is your core held? Are you in a good sitting or standing or walking position? Are you sitting flat on the seat? Are your feet flat on the floor? Are you standing? Are you walking well? The uniform, what are you wearing? Have you dressed for success? Is the information that's coming off you as a working, successful person going to cause people to think that you are going to get them what they want? Environment. Is your desk clear? Is your computer screen clean? Is your environment conducive to creativity, or is it one of those shared office spaces with that ridiculous notion that if you don't give someone a desk, they'll work better? Do you have your priorities written down? If not, prioritize the day. Think just before you start your work, what am I going to do? What do I want? Don't ask yourself how yet. And finally, self-talk. You need some words to say to yourself every day before you start work, before you touch one thing on the keyboard. You need something to say to yourself that reminds you of what you really believe your potential to be. Your human potential is, and your estimate of that, the unlimited nature of it, is a really important part of the pre-takeoff systems check. Let's go back through it again. Priming, getting your head in the right space. That's covered under a different podcast. Exercise, 20 minutes as a minimum. We do the power hour and we do burst training, and that's 3 minutes of exercise that really is equivalent to 20. Protein in your breakfast, very important in the morning to get your brain working and get your body functioning. Call the angels, do the walker chi. Check your posture. Is your uniform expressing the power and the inspiration you have inside? Make sure the environment is conducive to great work and genius. Make sure your priority list is set down so you know what's least and most important in the day ahead. Ask yourself, what is ahead, not how do I do it? Because that's solution-focused rather than problem-focused. And last but not least, engage your inner coach. This inner coach should at all times have a series of words that it can repeat over and over again that will make you feel worthy of the success that you're about to cause yourself. So once the day has begun, and that's the systems checklist, I've timed it. It takes around about 3 minutes to go through all that, but it's worth a worthy spend of 3 minutes. The next step, before you even put a finger on the keyboard, is just make sure your headspace is in the right space. There are four things that I believe need to be in a person's mind before they even begin the day's work. And those four things are the baseline. These are baseline thinking process that engage the higher levels of the brain. And the four are gratitude, thankful for what you've got, which engages the body. Presence, which brings you into the moment, which engages the feelings, which are essential for success. Certainty engages the brain, the mind, the higher centers of the mind. And last but not least, the love of what you're about to do. Make sure that you feel in your heart of hearts, in the center of your chest, sort of a connection to the people who are going to benefit from what you're about to produce. Without love, nothing sticks. We know that. That creates what we call a powerful mind space. And those drills My timing on those is around about 4.5 minutes. So now we've spent a total of 7.5 minutes in the morning getting ready to start work. Now it's time for pedal to the metal. Full effort. We need to know what comes first in our day. And the answer to that question, the first thing that comes on our desk on a day is always sales. Sales is done in the morning. Sales is when you're fresh and the people you're selling to are fresh. So you do your marketing and your market development and your ideas development and your communication with clients to sell first thing in the morning. The second thing you do is you fix and prevent doing the wrong things. In other words, any customer service work that needs to be done to follow up complaints or follow up things that aren't kosher in the way the things are going at work, you can do that. This is not spending time with other team members who are having an emotional breakdown of some sort. This is focusing on the customer. The next one is be aware of causing the right thing. In other words, work on the project that you have and prioritize those projects. And last but not least, the fourth is make sure that you sustain and hold the right space, which in other words, make sure you know what you're working on and make sure you know the long-term connection of what you're working on to the plan that you have. In other words, chunk it down, break it down, do dumb delegate, make sure you know the outcome. So this is pedal to the metal. And at this point, I would suggest any work you do will be absolute genius, absolutely powerful. You'll have a style of your own. You'll look and feel comfortable. You'll be in your own skin. You'll be working from the inside out instead of the outside in, which is ridiculous. So you want to work from the inside out. You want to be able to generate the work, this thing, and you want to be able to be pedal to the metal, full bore, no interruptions, no disruptions, getting the work done. Now, the next step is success benchmarking and self-rewarding. Now, as I've said, many people want success, but they wait for the company to give them a 360-degree review. They wait for somebody to tell them that the numbers are on target, or they wait for something to happen to tell them that they're doing what's meant to be done. And this is really not the way success works. Firstly, you have to know exactly what you want, but not how. So you could look at the seven areas of life and know exactly what you want. The second energy is you remind yourself why you're doing what you do. So you get a feeling of what it's going to feel like when you get what you want. You still don't know how, but you just imagine the feeling you'll have when you get to completion on anything you do. That's an energizing and a success-building quality. The next one is awareness. And this is really important, to be willing and not fearful, to be willing to explore whether what you're doing is working and have it checked by somebody or have somebody have a look in on it or even hand it to somebody, and that we get left with two words, win or learn. Win or learn. Instead of being afraid of criticism, instead of being afraid of having our work knocked back, welcome knockbacks. In other words, we've got two words in this whole success model. I either win, in other words, get successful, or I learn how to be. Finally, and that's called a flexible mind. Finally, and most importantly, we need to visualize the results. Now, that's a positive feedback loop in our head. Now, the world will generate negativity. It'll tell us why we can't do stuff. But I think it's really important for us to be able to visualize ourselves as successful people. And I'd be doing this little exercise, the fourth step in this checklist and style development. I'd be doing this at lunchtime and after work, making sure that I'm doing the fourth element of this, the penetration, the visualization of results, to embed deeply in our mind the placebo or the belief that we are on track, that we don't go away from anything thinking we're hoping that it happens. We know it's going to happen. We go down now to number five, refueling your powers. There needs to be some me time between work and home. This is the time where you go through the steps to rebuild your confidence or make sure you have your confidence, you see yourself as the genius that you are. The second point is you release any emotional blocks any judgments, any criticisms you have on yourself or others throughout the day. The third step, make sure you do an emotional shower before you go home to just check in on yourself and make sure you've got a clear heart. The fourth step, make sure that your mission is to arrive home in the front door and turn up 110% interested in the other person, not yourself. And finally, true understanding means to recognize what you've caused. You see, a lot of people are working at the effect level of things. They're thinking, how do I fix this and how do I fix that, which is a problem mindset. What I'm trying to encourage here in style is to go to cause mindset, which is solution. This is beautiful. Remembering this, every area of life is going to have a what you want. Every area of life is going to have something that's not going right. You can't fix them all. So we need to balance the what I want with how I'm going to fix what I want. We need to balance that and to make sure we don't let too many hows come in to intrude and fill ourselves up with doubt and uncertainty and questions, that we need to just say there needs to be a period of time, especially in the late day, where we just focus on what we want and know that we're going to get it. So last step is closure. And I think this is a quiet time that we spent just going through the day. I call it total recall, and making sure we're thankful for everything that took place in the day gone past. And finally, we go to sleep. And we must all go to sleep. It's called going to sleep with peace. But I'm not sure I know what peace looks like. But I know what humility looks like. Humility means that we go to sleep at night with loving kindness, which is joy and happiness for others. We go to bed to sleep with joyfulness, thinking about the happiness for ourselves and others that won't cause any harm in the world. We go to sleep thinking of equanimity, how tomorrow will enable you to give more love and kindness and care to the world unconditionally. And finally, compassion. We visualize sending love and removing suffering from others just as we go into our depth of sleep. And in this state of humility, tomorrow we'll wake up to a whole new day full of energy. We'll bounce out of bed and we just won't be able to wait to get to work in the morning. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.